1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Let's pray again and ask God's help. Father, we need You to understand what this Word says, and we need You to apply it to our hearts and minds. We need You to be with us so that we will not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And so, God, we invite You into our lives at this time, into my heart, into our hearts, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would teach us, that You would guide us, that You would show us what these words of life mean. We pray that You would lift up Christ and glorify Your name. We ask, oh God, that You would work in us such that we have love perfected in us, that we would have confidence on the day of judgment, because as Christ is in the world, so are we. We pray, oh God, that we would not fear, but we would know the perfection of love and have no fear of punishment. And so, Lord, be with us, draw us to Yourself, save those among us who don't know You, build up Your people for Jesus' sake. Amen. October 2017 is the 500-year anniversary of what we know as the Reformation. The Reformation, which began when Martin Luther, a German monk who lived there at the end of the 1400s, the beginning of the 1500s, nailed 95 debating points or theses on the church door there in Wittenberg. And Martin Luther was a key figure in the Reformation that God raised up, much like Moses, to bring great reformation and truth to the church and reform the church. And Martin Luther said these words: "There are only 2 days on my calendar." You have your calendars, right? Your little iPhone calendars or smartphone calendars. You have your calendars at home that you mark up and make preparation for this, that, and the other. Martin Luther said, "I only have 2 days. There are only 2 days on my calendar. Today and that day. Today and that day." And that day he is referring to is that day when we will stand before a holy and righteous God and give an account for every word we've ever spoken, every thought we've ever had, every feeling we've ever felt, every deed we've ever done, and every word we've not spoken when we should have, and every thought we should have had and we didn't, and every feeling we should have had and didn't, and every deed we should have done and didn't. He's talking about that day, the day of judgment, judgment day, the last day. And the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, turns our attention to that day in this passage of Scripture and teaches us this basic truth: the perfection of love gives us confidence and no fear on that day. The perfection of love gives us confidence and no fear on the day of judgment. That's the main point of this sermon in a sentence. The perfection of love gives us confidence and no fear on the day of judgment. So let's meditate upon these truths together. First, thinking about the perfection of love. Look at verse 17, the beginning of verse 17. By this is love perfected with us. What is the this? What does this mean? The this is pointing back to the perfection of love. When is love perfected with us? Well, we see in 1 John 4:16 and 1 John 4:12. Love is perfected with us when we abide in love, when we know the love of God in Christ, when we know His love for us, when we see it in His death on the cross and His resurrection, when we see it in His electing love. Well, next week we get to talk about how we love because He first loved us. When we abide in this love, know this love, experience this love, and then because we've been so loved by God and changed by God and abide in love, we love one another. That's the perfection of love. When we abide in love and abide in God and God abides in us, and we see this in 1 John 4:16. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this, so he says that verse, and by this love is perfected. And we also see what the perfection of love is in 1 John 4:12. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. When Olney Baptist Church loves one another in Christ, by the power of the Spirit, love is perfected in us. What does perfected mean? What does perfected mean? Perfected here does not mean to take something that is flawed or messed up or not right and make it flawless and right. That's not what perfected means in these verses. Perfected rather means to make something complete, to accomplish something or to fulfill something or to bring something to its fullest expression, to reach a goal. And so you see this same word used in places like John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." That word accomplished is the same word perfected in our text. And you wouldn't say that Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to perfect His work," perfect God's work, to make God's work that is flawed, flawless. No, that's not what Jesus came to do. God's work is already perfect in that sense. It's not flawed. But He came to complete that work, to accomplish that work, to finish the goal of that work. Or John 19:28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the Scripture, "I thirst." That word for fulfill is the same word, perfect. And certainly Jesus is not saying to perfect the Scriptures as though they were flawed and now He's making them flawless. No, He's accomplishing the Scripture. He's fulfilling the Scripture. He's bringing the Scripture to its goal. And so all the prophecies that were told about Jesus, He is fulfilling, even when He thirsts on the cross. And so when we love one another, when we're living out the an expression of the character of God, which is love, when we love one another, love is brought to its fullest completion in us. It is brought to its goal in us. God is accomplishing what He set out to do in us when we love one another. Love is perfected. God's love finds its fullest possible earthly expression as His children trust and obey and love Christ and love one another by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're exhorted again, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. And as I've read over and over and over again, I'm going to read it again. 1 Corinthians 13. We meditate on this and know what it means to love one another. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-8, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all away, everything I own away, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That is love. And we pray, oh God, you would help us as a congregation to love one another this way, to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us and pray for those who persecute us. We want to love like this young woman I read about this week who was pregnant with her sixth child and found out while she was pregnant that she had a brain tumor. And she had to make a choice to give her life for her child or to give her child's life for hers. You can be treated, have this brain tumor treated, and possibly live 10 or 15 more years, but you'll have to terminate the pregnancy. You'll have to abort the child. Or you can have the child and bring the child to term, but you will die within 10 months. And so this mother and father, lovers of Jesus, they prayed, they sought the Lord. And the mom says, "My life for my little girl. My life for my little girl. I'm pro-life. I don't take babies' lives." All the time people come up to me, "What about if the mother's going to die? What will you do then?" I'm going to tell them this story is what I'm going to tell them. And so this woman, she gave her life. She had this baby, and then she died. And she went to be with Jesus. That's love. That's love. That's the sacrificial love of a mother. Unlike so many mothers who pay a doctor to kill their baby because it's too hard. We want to love like that woman. We want to love like that woman. We want to love each other and die for each other and give our lives for each other. Like that woman. And why can we do this? Because we have one who gave his life for us. We have a Savior, right, who gave his life for us. His life for us. We have a Savior who has loved us so greatly, so lavishly, so beautifully in giving His life on the cross that now we give all to Him. The perfection of love. And what does this perfection of love do for us? Look again at verse 17. It gives us confidence in the day of judgment. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. The Apostle John brings up the thought of the day of judgment. The day of judgment. Friends, there will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment. I saw a t-shirt as I walked to Broughton Alney this week that said, "Only God can judge me." A lot of times people will say that when the pastor starts talking about sin and saying, "Well, this is a sin and that is a sin and sexual morality is a sin and lying is a sin and stealing is a sin and homosexuality is a sin and sinful heterosexuality is a sin." Oh, don't judge me, Pastor. Only God can judge me. He will. He will. And that's why I'm preaching. He will judge you. He will judge me. There is a day when God, who knows all things, will judge the living and the dead. There is coming a day where God will judge. And He knows everything about you. You can hide things from the pastor, but you cannot hide things from God. You can hide things from your husband and wife, from your children, from your mother and father children. You can hide things from them. You cannot hide from God. He knows all. And He will judge on the day of judgment. Jesus spoke of this day. In Matthew 12:36, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." Every careless word. We ought to do this more. Get a tongue tamer. Every careless word will give an account to God Almighty. 2 Peter 3:7. The Apostle Peter speaks about this day. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Jesus takes us into more details about this day in John chapter 5, verses 22 through 29. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Jesus is going to be our judge, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. There's a little flicker of light as we talk about the day of judgment. A flicker of light. Whoever hears the words of Jesus and believes in Him will have eternal life and will not be judged, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself, and He has given Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And friends, the Bible teaches us that God's judgment on Judgment Day is a motivation for us not to sin. Knowing this, knowing that all our calendars are today and that day, it ought to be a motivation for all peoples not to sin. Westminster Confession of Faith, a great confession that flowed from the thought of the Reformation in the 1600s, says this of the Last Judgment: as Christ would have us to be certainly persuaded that there shall be a day of judgment to deter all men from sin. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27 through 30, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." Friends, Jesus is saying we ought to fight sin with violence. I don't believe Jesus means we should literally cut our hand and pluck our eye out, but He is saying we ought to see where sin may lead and fight it with a violent fight. If you need to get rid of the computer, get rid of the computer. If you need to get rid of the smartphone, get rid of the smartphone. You don't need a smartphone. You don't need it. You don't need it to go to heaven, and it may help you go to hell. You don't need a computer. People lived fine for thousands of years without them. People live fine without smartphones for thousands of years. Jesus is saying, if you struggle with pornography, you need to get rid of the cell phone, and you need to get rid of the computer, and you need to get rid of the TV, and everything else. Cut it off. It's better to go to heaven without a smartphone than go to hell with one. That is what Jesus is saying. And even Paul himself, said in 1 Corinthians 9:26 through 27, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." The Apostle Paul, disqualified from what? From the prize of heaven, and go to hell forever after I've preached to others. The Apostle Paul had that day on his calendar, and it affected how he beat his body and brought it under subjection, lest after preaching to others, he himself is disqualified. And friend, this is not a paralyzing fear. This is not a paralyzing fear, but a proper, healthy respect for the wrath of Almighty God. Not a paralyzing fear. Not a paralyzing fear, but a proper and healthy respect. Paul is saying, I don't want to be disqualified. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Him. I love Him. I delight in Him. I want to be with Christ. And so I discipline my body, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want Christ. And so Jesus speaks of this judgment. He talks of it in Matthew 25 when the sheep and the goats are separated, when the righteous are separated from the wicked. And He says in verse 46 of Matthew 25, and these, referring to the wicked, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Friend, if you are here this morning and you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you are not a follower of Christ, if you have not repented of your sins and believed in Christ, this ought to undo you. The fact of the day of judgment ought to undo you. You ought to be paralyzed with fear. You ought to tremble in the pew with fear. Because, friend, if you're not in Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. On that day, again, you can fool the preacher. You can fool the elders. You can be a church member for 80 years and fool everybody. And Jesus said, on that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I've done many wonderful works in your name. I've done this in your name and that in your name. And Jesus will say on that day to many, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Friend, do you know Him? Do you know the Savior? Have you believed the Savior? There is coming a day when you will not be able to hide anymore. Your heart will be open. Your mind will be open. God will open the books. And He knows what you've done, what you've said, what you thought, what you felt, what you do in the dark, behind closed doors, where nobody knows but you. He knows. He knows. And you will give an account. And if you are found to be unrighteous in any way, if you are found to have sinned in any way, broken God's commandments in any way, He will cast you into hell. Unless you come to the one He gave that you might be saved. You see, God loves sinners. He is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And so He gave someone who can save you. Someone who came into this world and perfectly loved and perfectly obeyed and perfectly gave His life as a ransom for many. Jesus, His Son, who is the God-man who died on the cross and suffered the wrath of God. He took your judgment day. He took the wrath of God and suffered and was buried and then rose from the dead. He is risen. We celebrate today that He is risen. He's risen from the dead. And friend, if you believe in Him today, if you turn from your sins, He will save you. And all your sins will be forgiven and Christ's righteousness will be counted as yours. And you can have confidence on the day of judgment. No fear. No worry, because Jesus paid it all. Friend, if that is a new message for you, if you've never believed, it may not be new, but you've never believed it. Friend, believe now. Come and speak with me afterwards. Come and have lunch. We would love to speak with you about the gospel of Jesus. Today is the day to believe and trust in Him. And if you do, If you do believe, this text encourages you that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. We may have confidence for the day of judgment. We can come boldly, with certainty, with courage, with confidence that we are safe in the arms of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19-23. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. We may have confidence on the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. What does that mean? As Jesus Christ is, so also are we in this world. Friends, if we have trusted in Christ and turn from our sins, this passage teaches us that we are being made more like Christ. And as we are made more like Jesus, and we love like Jesus, that sanctifying process gives us confidence on the day of judgment. It gives us confidence. I'm not like I used to be. I used to hate people in the church, laugh at the church, never come to church. But now I love the church. I love God's people. I love being there. I love hearing God's Word. I have confidence. Something's happened. Something's changed. I've been born again. I used to not think about God, but now I think about Him a lot and I read His Word. I'm not perfect, but I love Him now, whereas before I did not. I love the brothers. I'm growing. I realize I still struggle with sin, but I hate my sin more and more. And there's a growing desire to learn about Him, to grow in Him, to be more holy. That should give you confidence that you are God's and He is yours. And you can go before the judge with confidence. Christ was filled with the Spirit and abided in God and abided in love. And we are filled with the Spirit and abide in God and abide in love. Christ loved His people, and so do we love His people. Therefore, have confidence for the day of judgment. One commentator put it this way: we are in the world in the same way that He was. Believers who love one another in this world in the same way as Christ loved His disciples when He was in the world show that they live in God, and therefore they need have no fear when they face the day of judgment. Friend, as we go through this book of 1 John and we see all these evidences of true and genuine faith, I hope and pray that many of you will see, yes, I am living this out. I'm not perfect. But I have grown in these areas. I continue to grow in these areas. And my life is not what it used to be. And I can't attribute to any goodness on me. But it is evident. It is a change of God in my life. That God's Spirit lives in me. That should give you confidence on the day of judgment. How God has changed you and sanctified you and made you more like Christ. Now, if that's not happening in your life, friends, the first step is to come to Him and confess your sins to Him. Confess that you are a sinner. Confess that you need Him. Confess that Jesus is God and died on the cross and rose from the dead, and believe on Him that you might be saved and sanctified. We cannot love one another as Christ loved unless we first trust in Christ and are united to Christ, the only one who loved perfectly with a perfect love and died for all of our sins and our failures and lack of love. Look at verse 17, the end again. As He is, so also are we in this world. Friend, when you believe in Christ, when you trust in Jesus, God sees you as He sees His own Son. And you need that relationship first before you start trying to love one another. You need that relationship first. You need to be justified first. You need to become a child of God first. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved first. And then you are as He is in this world. When God looks at you, He sees His Son. John MacArthur put it this way. It means the Father treats us the way He treats His Son. As He is, Jesus Christ, in the eyes of the Father, so also are we who live in this world. We, believers. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, do you think Jesus could face the final judgment of God with confidence? Do you think Jesus faces the final judgment of God with confidence? You think He can with boldness, with fearlessness? Of course. Think about that for a moment. Think about how Jesus faces God's judgment. Perfect. Never sinned. Tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. Never offended. Always loved. Always gave. Always served. Oh, how Jesus faces the judgment of God with absolute, unshakable confidence. Because He is perfectly sinless. And friend, if you believe in Christ, you are in Him. Therefore, you can face the judgment of God. You can face judgment of God, the judgment day, with the same confidence as Jesus Christ. Because you are in Him. Because love is absolutely, MacArthur goes on, because love is absolutely perfected in Him, obedience is absolutely perfected in Him, righteousness is absolutely perfected in Him, and how incredible it is that we can actually go to the judgment and stand there as confident as Christ, because in reality, we've been covered with His righteousness. Jesus is God's beloved Son in whom He is well pleased, and so are we. So are you, dear Christian. We can share His confidence because when we get to that final accounting in that final day, 1 John chapter 3, you remember this verse 2, "Beloved, now are we children of God." He is the Son of God and we're children of God. It has not appeared yet what we shall be. You can't tell right now what we are. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. We can be confident in looking ahead at the judgment because we get to that place, we're going to be made like Jesus Christ. When God looks at us, He sees His Son. And so, dear Christian, you can look forward to the day of judgment with the same confidence as Jesus because you are in Him and He is in you and you will be saved because He took your condemnation. He took the condemnation that you deserve for your sin. That you might never face condemnation. Pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way, the natural man should fear the day of judgment. The natural man, meaning unbelievers, those outside of Christ, you should fear the day of judgment. The Christian should not fear the day of judgment. And Christians should not fear it because they are justified by Christ and sanctified by Christ and made like Christ. And will ultimately be with Christ. And so, there is no fear in this love. There is no fear in this love. Look finally at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. There is no fear in love. Some would take this verse too far and say that that means we no longer fear God. Yet, friend, if you read all over the Bible, you see that the fear of the Lord is a good thing. The fear of the Lord is commanded. Fear the Lord. Jesus said, don't fear Him who can kill the body, but fear Him who can kill both the body and the soul in hell. We're to fear God. A righteous and a holy reverence and awe. We are to fear God. But notice the focus of this passage is not this reverent, godly fear, but it's a fear having to do with punishment. A fear having to do with punishment. This is the fear that perfect love casts out. No fear of God's punishment. When love is perfected in us, we no longer fear God's punishment for sin. And so Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Friend, do you fear condemnation? Come to Christ. Come to Christ. In Christ, there's no condemnation. In Christ, there's no judgment. In Christ, there's no fear of being punished because Jesus was condemned in our place. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You've not received the spirit of fear, Christian, but the Spirit of power and love, the sound mind, the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And so there's no need to fear. Friend, if you've trusted in Jesus, there's no need to fear. For He is working in you, perfecting that love in you that casts out all fear. And so we sing hymns like, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amen. Dear Christian, do you know the joy of that? Regardless of what you've done in the past, regardless of what you did last night, you can be forgiven today. You can be washed clean today. You can be saved today. Pray for John. John, are you still here somewhere? Pray for John. Pray for John that God would save him. That God would deliver this man from the addiction to alcohol. He needs to be saved. And if he believed on Christ and died tomorrow, he would be with Christ in paradise. And this gospel, friend, it keeps us from looking down at people like John and thinking we're better than him. Oh no, my friend. Save for the grace of God, there go I, be a drunk in the gutter on the street. Save for the grace of God, there go I, high on crack cocaine and heroin. Save for the grace of God, there I be, down somewhere as a male prostitute. Save for the grace of God, I would be living for myself, trying to make as much money as I can to feed my own lust for wealth. No, no. Oh no, Pastor Joseph. Save for the grace of God, there you go. Only by His grace, only by His mercy am I not in hell today. That's the heart cry of a true believer. Grace. Grace. Only by grace. It's a free gift of God. Nothing that we've earned. Nothing that we've done. It's a free gift of God that He snatched me out of the flames of hell when I was a senior in high school. When He would have been just and righteous to leave me there, to go my own way, and face Him on that day. Lord, I went to church. Lord, I believed John 3:16. Lord, I memorized Bible verses. Lord, I gave to the church. Lord, I got my God in country as a Boy Scout. He would have said, depart from me, Joseph. You did it all for yourself. Pride, so that you would look great and have people pat you on the back. Go to hell, Joseph, and get out of my sight. Praise God, He didn't leave me there. Praise God, He awakened me from my selfish pride and lust and an evil heart. Oh, friend, praise God if He's awakened you. It's mercy, grace, and now there's no fear of judgment, no fear of condemnation. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands. Before the throne, my surety stands. My name is written on His hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, His precious blood to plead. His blood atone for every race. His blood atoned for every race and sprinkles now the throne of grace. 5 bleeding wounds He bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive Him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive Him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for His child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw near. With confidence I now draw near. And Father, Abba, Father, cry. Friend, this is the song of the Christian. The one who's trusted in Jesus. Jesus will judge on judgment day when all you've done and think and say will be made known in full array. Christ died to take your sin away and rose to cause you and me to obey. And now, without fear, we will love His way. And so let's pray that God would help us have confidence in the day of judgment. As we're conformed to the image of Jesus and know that we are accepted in the Beloved. Father, we praise You for this good news. Father, we praise You for Your Son who loved perfectly and gave His life perfectly and rose perfectly and is the perfect, glorious, beautiful One who died and rose to save us from our sins and make us righteous. We praise You for the Spirit of God who indwells Your people to make us more humble, more loving, more gracious, to move us to abide in love and love You and love one another and have love perfected in us that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. Father, we pray, God, for those who may be here today that are unbelievers, Lord, that if the day happened tomorrow, God, they would be cast into hell forever. We pray that today, now, You would awaken them. Awaken them, Lord, by the warning of the day of judgment and move them to trust in Jesus and save. We pray for John that You would save him, God. Lord, do what it may seem impossible that You would save this man. Lord, You saved us. Save him. Draw him to Jesus. Show him his sin. Help us love him. Help us be patient with him. Help us be kind to him. Show us, God, how to care for him and be patient with him as You have been patient with us and help us love one another. Father, help us who are believers to go before You with confidence, Lord, on the day of judgment. And be ready to face You and delight for You to come and take us to be with You forever without fear, but in joy. And so God, work this in us, we pray, by Your Spirit. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.